Praise God. Hallelujah. Can you be seated? Good to see you tonight. Glad you're here. I will pray here. Father in heaven, we just thank you so much for your word. Your word is truth. Your words bring life. Your words are full of your spirit. Your word to bring revelation and understanding and the knowledge we need to live, and feeds our spirit, renews our mind, brings health and healing to our bodies. And so we're so grateful, Father, that of your plan that included your word. And you said that you magnified your word above your name, that you watch over your word to perform it. And so we thank you for that, Father. So tonight, as we share some scriptures and share from the Word of God, we just pray for revelation and light to come to everyone here, understanding to come, open up our eyes, bring revelation in whatever area is needed, answer questions, solve problems, strengthen people, bring courage, bring the help. Just minister to each person, Lord, right where they're at. I ask you for utterance and boldness and clarity. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and let's look at verse 6. You know, this is in my top 100 scriptures. I just love the word, and this is one of those my favorites here. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age. There's a wisdom from God, and there's a natural human wisdom. Nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man. And sometimes you'll see that written down, and people will kind of use that to say, well, you never know what God's going to do. You know, God works in mysterious ways. And they'll use this scripture for that. But you have to keep on reading. Those verses are from the Old Testament. Let's keep on reading. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. So He reveals the hidden things. He reveals the secret things to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, not the world's wisdom, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know, everybody say no, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. God wants us to know. God wants us to have a revelation. Revelation is one of the exciting things of living in this earth. Revelation from God's Word. And how many times, I mean, these different scriptures, layer after layer after layer of revelation, been hearing them for 30 years and still new revelation that the Lord brings. But He wants us to know what we have. We see, we have an inheritance. And thank God, when we die, we go to heaven. I mean, that's awesome. I mean, whatever age we live to on this earth, it's a vapor, the Bible says, in comparison to eternity. And eternity is going to be amazing. I do a funeral service, I'll share and talk about heaven, and there's just some amazing things in there. No sickness, no pain, no loneliness, just what's there. I mean, no evil. The enemy's not there. Can you imagine a world without any evil? Just God's presence. And so heaven, no doubt, is going to be, I mean, we can't imagine. But what about here on this earth? Are we just going to get by and just kind of scrape by and do our best to just make it and barely get into the, you know, the pearly gates. No, that's not his plan. No, he talks about us being more than conquerors. He talks about us always triumphing. We have the victory through Christ. It says that we're world overcomers. He wants us to, what's there to overcome in heaven? That overcoming is going to be done here on the earth. And he wants to give us the revelation and the understanding to do that, to walk in victory. Now I know there is an enemy, and he's out to steal, kill, and destroy. And he is, you know, working 24/7. And sometimes we're not on our best, and, you know, things happen. But we need to realize he was defeated 2,000 years ago. And our job is to enforce the victory that was already won. Now there is a battle. There's a good fight of faith. So there is stuff that happens. We all know it's not a perfect world that we're living in. But we can overcome. And we can walk in victory. And we can walk in those promises here on the earth. So I love that he is a revealer. And I love the fact that he wants us to understand things. I mean, I want my kids to be knowledgeable, to understand things. I don't want them to go out and, when they leave home, to be ill-equipped. I want to do my best to train them, equip them, give them knowledge. And how much more does God want that for us? He's not the author of confusion. He never works with confusion. He's a God of order. He's not a God of chaos. He doesn't do things in a chaotic way. So let's talk about someone that had a lot of revelation. Now, besides Jesus now in the New Testament, who is the main guy? Eddie just knows where I'm going already. Paul. Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Paul brought revelation on the whole in Christ, which is amazing. We spent a lot of time talking about that and the revelation of what happened at the cross and what that meant for believers. Now, when I was down in Peru, what year was that, Eddie? 02. And it might have been you, or I don't know, one of us. We were teaching at this jungle Bible school in the Amazon. And was it me or you talked on righteousness? And I was teaching on righteousness, and their word in the Spanish Bible is the word judgment. So the people that I was talking to had no concept of righteousness. And so when I talked about righteousness, it was the first time they had heard it. And so that's pretty amazing. So that's new revelation. You know, my parents traveled for the Catholic Church talking on tithing, and many of the congregations they went to had never heard about tithing. So, I mean, but tithing wasn't new, and righteousness wasn't new for me. But when Paul was sharing some of these, I could see why he was controversial. I could see why he was beaten and stoned and tossed out, and because, you know, he's standing up and giving new revelation that no one has ever heard before. That is pretty amazing. And that's a tough job. And I see the Apostle Paul, you know, his character and his nature, why the Lord, you know, chose him. It took a certain person to be able to do that. But so he brought in revelation that hadn't heard before. And so he's a good person to go to if we want to find out how we can have revelation in our lives. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? That if he is a person that's gotten a lot of revelation from God, I think he might have some keys for us to get some revelation. So go over to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. Verse 13 says this: therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. What's he talking about? He's talking about speaking in tongues. He's talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, praying in the Spirit. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit. I will also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Now, I think there's a correlation between revelation and praying in the Spirit or praying in tongues. I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than you all, yet in the church I would rather speak five words with my understanding that I might teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. And what he's talking about there is, if you have a congregation of people, you want to instruct them. But it doesn't mean you can't pray in the Spirit during times of prayer or in a prayer meeting. That would be in order. But it's not going to benefit the people. It's for me to stand here tonight and just speak in tongues all night, you know, unless you get the revelation of it, it's not going to benefit you. But so what's he talking about? Jesus, before he died, he promised that the Holy Spirit would come. The Comforter would come. He said that it was to your advantage that I go away. And that is hard to comprehend. How could it be to my advantage to have Jesus go away? Well, it's very simple, because instead of the Holy Spirit just being in one place where Jesus was, the Holy Spirit can now come and live and be everywhere in the believers. That's what he meant. It's to your advantage, to your profit, that I go away, so that you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So he told them to go wait in Jerusalem. And in Acts 2, you know, they waited and they prayed, and then the Holy Spirit fell on 120 there that day, and they spoke in tongues. And Jesus called it the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. Now, I'm not going to go through this tonight, but I mean, we can look at Acts 1, Acts 2, Acts 8, Acts 10, Acts 19, are different references. And I might read maybe one of them for you tonight. Maybe not. But so there's an experience after salvation where people are prayed for to receive the Holy Spirit. Now, you can't say Jesus is Lord, the Bible says, without the help of the Holy Spirit. And I don't have my illustration here tonight, but the way I'll demonstrate this is, I'll have a cup and I'll have some water and I'll pour it into the cup, and the Holy Spirit's there in a measure to help you become a believer. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is something different than salvation. And that's where, and then I'll take the picture and I'll fill the cup up, and then it's overflowing. The Bible says the Holy Spirit fills you and then comes up on you. The word anointed means to rub and to smear. So this is something after salvation, and it's something that you receive just like salvation. It's a free gift, but something specifically you have to ask God for. And the evidence of you receiving the gift is speaking in a heavenly language. It's a language that it's not French or German, although it might sound like other languages. It's a heavenly language. And each person here that speaks in tongues, it's a specific to them. They're all different. It's like your fingerprint. I mean, it's the Holy Spirit praying through you. And it sounds like gibberish. And when we say it, I mean, I could speak it right now, you wouldn't understand what I'm saying. And it's the Holy Spirit who's in me. And I am a spirit, a soul, and a body, right? We've talked about that. It's the Holy Spirit praying through my spirit, coming through my soul in my vocal cords. But he doesn't, it is at my will, not his will. Now, there's a gift of the gifts of the Spirit, and there is a tongue and interpretation there. There's nine gifts. That's as the Spirit wills. But there's a prayer language that goes with the baptism of the Holy Spirit that's whenever you will. I mean, I can pray now. I mean, I can pray all day long. Pray in other tongues. And so Paul, that's what Paul's talking about here. And so he says, I pray in the Spirit, then I pray with my understanding. So one thing that I've learned to do is, when I'm praying, is to ask God for the interpretation. And sometimes I'll get it then, and sometimes I won't. But it doesn't really matter. I'm believing for the interpretation of the mysteries, of the secrets that I'm praying. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, again, is for every believer. And I really just feel sad for so many parts of the body. So many churches, they don't even mention the Holy Spirit. They don't even talk about the Holy Spirit. And certainly they don't talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. One well-known Baptist preacher, and nothing against the Baptists, love the Baptists. One well-known Baptist preacher says that speaking in tongues is of the devil. So therefore, I'm of the devil. The thousands that we've gotten saved and people that have taught and ministered to. And see, that's just ignorance. It's just a lack of understanding. It's like just a blinders. But everybody that I've prayed for, everybody that I've prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit has received. So it's not just a few gifted people or a few special people. Just like salvation, everybody that desires, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever calls on the Holy Spirit or calls on God for the Holy Spirit is going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, I know sometimes for people, it's a little bit challenging, especially for men, sometimes to receive, because you receive it by faith, and men, we just, you know, get our minds get in the way. It took me a while to receive. I told you the story about me when I was sitting up in northern Minnesota in my brother's car, and we were sitting up there, it was like midnight, and we sat out there for 2 hours waiting for the Holy Spirit to come on us and have us speak in tongues. He didn't do it. I could have been sitting there till today, and it wouldn't happen because I had to step out in faith. It's weird. It is. I'm just going to say. I mean, it's weird. I was praying in the Spirit today, and I said to Susie, I said, this is weird. It is weird. Jose, what does weird mean? Super. We were talking about what weird. Anyway, you could look it up and tell me in a minute. Huh? Suggesting the supernatural
and unearthly.
Okay. So weird is supernatural. So it is weird, but it's supernatural. And so Paul's talking about here, this is the guy that brought the revelation. I mean, there's something here for me. Now let me ask you a question. Do you need revelation? Anybody here needs some revelation? All right, let's go over to Romans. Love this scripture here in Romans. Romans chapter 8. I'm going to read this from the Living Bible. Romans 8, verse 26. And in the same way, by our faith, the Holy Spirit helps us with our daily problems. So we got, is it the same? Do you have just a Living Bible back there? Anyway, you can listen to this, but I mean, they're all good, but listen to this, what it says. It says, the Holy Spirit helps us with our daily problems and in our praying. I like that. He helps us with our daily problems in our praying. For we don't even know what we should pray, for nor how to pray as we should. Can anybody relate to that? I mean, if you just sat there with your prayer list and just went through it, it's going to take you about 5 minutes. And you don't even know if anything happened. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with such feeling that it cannot be expressed in words. And one translation talks about in a known language. It can't be expressed in your words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows, of course, what the Spirit is saying as He pleads for us in harmony with God's own will. And we know that all this happens to us for our good if we love God and are fitting into His plans. So I love that as we're praying in the Spirit, He's helping us with our daily problems. He's going to give us understanding about our daily problems. He's going to help us, show us how to pray. He's going to show us what to pray, in what manner to pray. And so when I'm speaking in tongues, this praying in the Spirit, in this heavenly language, I am praying and speaking the perfect will of God. How amazing is that? Isn't that amazing? Now think about this. It's as if God Himself, and it is, God Himself is praying through me. Now let me ask you, do you think His prayers are powerful? God's prayers, do you think they're good prayers? Do you think He knows what to pray about? Does He know specifically at this moment what to pray? Now, it's been a blessing, just, and I've done it. I've prayed in tongues for a long period of time, and it's a blessing even if I don't stop to even speak in English. I mean, in case you didn't know, that's my main language is English. But I prayed in tongues for a long period, and that was just a blessing. But I've learned now to go back and forth between tongues and English and listening down here, because it comes from in here. When you pray in the Spirit, it comes from where your spirit is, not your mind. When I'm praying in tongues, my mind is shut down. Now, I can think about things. You ever done that? You can pray in the Spirit and think about things. Something totally different than what you're, you know, something different. But you want to engage your spirit. And so what I've learned then, but then if I keep on looking down here, English words will come. I was praying for the Lee Grady meeting, the women's conference, and I was just praying right in here, and I was praying in the Spirit, and then I just began to say some things in English, and I just began to say, it's a new day, it's a new day, it's a new day. And Lee, during the women's conference, was standing right here, and he said, it's a new day. I mean, that was a sign and a wonder to me. And I can't tell you how many things, and you've had it happen too, things that you were praying about that you heard or happened or, you know, some kind of a confirmation. So it helps with our daily problem. Pray according to the perfect will. Now, this last part, it talks about that everything happens is for our good, it doesn't mean that everything happens in your life is from God. That's not what it's talking about. Well, you know, I'm sick, and so this is good because it's from God. No, what He does is He helps you recognize what's from Him and what's from the enemy, and you accept what's from Him and you resist what's from the enemy. But whatever does happen, if it is something negative, God can turn that around for good. Amen. He can turn it around in your favor, as long as you don't give up on it, on Him. Now, let me just share, and you've heard this, but let me just share it again, because it was just weird. It was supernatural. When I went up to Minnesota, again, my father went to heaven on February 1st of this year, and I went up. That was on a Saturday that he died, and I went up there on a Tuesday. And so I flew up there, and like 6 hours on the runway in Atlanta and snowing there, and, you know, just believing God to get out of Atlanta. It was the last flight out, basically. But anyway, I got up there late and went right to the hospice home, and they were all so tired because, just being around them for 3 or 4 days there, it just wears you out. So I said I would take that night. And I stayed there with my dad, slept in the room with him. And, you know, as much as I could that night, I just prayed in the Spirit. Prayed for him. I felt like one of my things was to help him make that transition. So I just spent a lot of time praying in tongues. And as I felt led, I'd walk over to him. And if I felt led, I'd just say things to him and minister to him. Had him all to myself. So, I mean... As much as I normally don't get that kind of opportunity with people. But I just prayed and slept a little bit. Went home the next day, and I came back the following night and did the same thing. And that was a rougher night. He kept trying to get up out of the bed, and he'd take his oxygen thing off and kick the sheets off, and then he put his leg over the side of the bed, and he's a big guy, I'm having to hold him down, and he's yelling at me, "Don't tell me what to do." But we went through all that, and there were some tough nights in there. So I went there Tuesday night, and it came to Saturday morning, and I was dropping my mom off, and I was going to go back home and drop my mom off, and he looked great. Best I'd seen him all week. He looked peaceful. He looked calm. The doctor just checked him. He had some things in his lungs. His lungs were clear. He was looking good. And based on the family, we're thinking we're in here for a long ride. Because they said, I mean, this could be a day. This could be 30 days. We've had people that stayed in that hospice home for a year. 1 year. I mean, you can't plan this. It's, you know, and all kind of things are happening, and spiritual things are happening. So I had been praying all week and continued to do that, and I went for a walk after I went to the hospice home, went for a walk, and I was just praying again, praying in tongues, praying in English, praying for him, and I heard on the inside. Now, it wasn't audible, you know, words from the Lord, but on the inside, from in here, I said, I heard these words, "Get the family together tonight." Now, he didn't say he was going on, but he was clearly, "Get the family." And I know that voice. I've heard that voice many times in my life. So I went home, did an email to the other brothers and sisters. And, you know, being the fourth child, you don't have a lot of clout with your older brothers and sisters. And I suggested we get together that night, and they weren't very interested in it, which I understand. They're tired. They've got family obligations. They've got work. All these different things, but what had happened is the whole week, there's five kids, you know, in our family, and then there's my mom. We hadn't all been there at one time, and all the different spouses and grandkids. My parents got 12 grandkids. We weren't all there together. So for whatever reason, the Lord wanted us all to be together that night. But one of the granddaughters. Sometimes kids can hear from God better than adults. One of the granddaughters said, "Let's cook a meal tonight. We've been wanting to do that." And so they made some spaghetti and had this big meal. And everybody showed up. All of my brothers and sisters, their wives, everybody that was in Minnesota, that was family, came. And the only ones that didn't was Susie and my kids. They were all here. And then another child that was at, another grandson that was at college. But we were all there. We were with around my dad. And then we went into this kind of separate dining area. And it had a big table. And we all sat in there. And we had a meal. And you know what? just for a moment, because, I mean, if you've ever been through this, and you're not used to it, I mean, it's not like everybody's laughing and having a good time. Everybody's real quiet and don't really know how to handle these kind of situations unless you've been around it and experienced, and especially kids. Why should they? But just for a moment, we're having our meal. We started telling the family stories. You know what I'm talking about, Kelly. You start telling those family stories, and everybody's got them. And, you know, I was telling the story about my sister, my older sister, Marie. We used to go toe-to-toe all the time. One time, and up there in Minnesota, they have radiators. You know what I'm talking about? The kind that come out of the ground. Well, she took my head, and she smashed it on the radiator. So I got a scar back here. I showed it to her. But I was saying, why were you so mean to me when I was a kid? And we were just laughing about that. And then we started telling some of these stories. And it got to be we're all laughing. And we totally forgot about Dad. Just for the moment, you know. We were just like having some good food, some spaghetti. And just for a moment. And right in the middle, I mean, one time we were just like all laughing. It was like loud, probably too loud. Right during that moment, they come tell us that my dad left. He died during the middle of all that. And, you know, if you deal with people that die, there's all kinds of things that happen. Sometimes they're waiting. If the situation calls for it, sometimes they're waiting for somebody to get there. I've seen this happen more times than not. They wait till everybody leaves. And then they leave. That's with Ralph, Eddie's father, and Martha's husband. Everybody was gone. We were with them all the time, 24/7, most of the time. And when someone's gone for about 20, 30 minutes, off he goes. Why is that? They don't want to be a burden. They don't want to be, you know, that's just the kind of people they are. My dad's that way. He was a provider, protector, didn't want to be a burden. But then all the family, and of course we're just shocked from going for what we're like, what? And then we go in there and we gather around him and we're praising God and we're crying and we're laughing and just, you know, it was amazing. And then my mom and my oldest brother speak a blessing over the family, and basically the blessing was, you're empowered to give life. She doesn't know our mission here, but she just said it in a different way. She talked about being a light. Don't hide that light. That we're this family is called to be a light for Jesus. And this is so my dad's in there, all the grandkids. I mean, so it was an amazing moment. It was weird. It was supernatural. The Holy Ghost orchestrated it. And again, had it not been that way, it still would have been glorious. You know what I'm saying? But it just meant a lot to me. And it meant a lot to me. It was a supernatural sign and a wonder. And the revelation, and I understand why they were all so busy. I was really the only one that had the time to pray and to hear from God and to be able to be a part of that. That came by the Holy Spirit. And I just wonder about in our lives, in our day-to-day lives, what are we missing? We live in such a busy, hustle-bustle world and so much going on. I mean, how sensitive are we to the Spirit of God? And so I'm suggesting that if we could take a little more time, I'm not saying hours, but if we could take just a little more time and pray in the Spirit. Take a little more time and pray in the Spirit than pray with our understanding. What would 5 minutes a day bring in your life? What would 10 minutes a day? I mean, I've been loving these Thursday night prayers, and I know that's not convenient time. We go from 6 to 7. But we've been doing it since last August, since we came back from Australia. Lord instructed us to do that. And I have been loving the prayer time. We are in here. We start at 6, maybe share a scripture, and then we pray. And we pray in tongues, and we pray in the English, and we pray. And we pray whatever the Lord leads and directs us. And I love it. It's not hard. It's not hard to pray for an hour. It's easy. If you get in the flow, see, the Holy Spirit strengthens you. He empowers you. And I'm a co-laborer with Him. I'm working with God. How amazing is that? I get to work with God about this city and this church and my family. I'm in covenant with Him. And there may be something, and some I don't may not know it, but He may want me to pray about something happening over in Africa or some other part of the world. I mean, and some things I'm privy to, and I actually mention the names. But I mean, what an honor to work with God. What an honor to pray the perfect will of God. But what would happen in our lives if we had just a little more revelation? I think God knows about business. I think God knows about science. I think God knows about how to take care of our bodies. I think God knows about finances. I think God knows about marriages. I think He knows about relationships. I think He knows about a lot of things. He's truth. And He this is going to sound bad, and I don't mean to say this in a condemning way. He's not the problem. Because His heart is to pour it on. And so I'm just tonight just trying to encourage you, brings back some truths you already know. You guys can preach this better than I can preach it. But we need to be reminded of these things because of the hour that we're living in, and this year the Lord's talking about extraordinary things. Let me read another scripture. I'm going to read this from the Message translation. Jude, verse 20. Jude, verse 20. It says, "But you, dear friends, carefully build yourself up in the most holy faith by praying on the Holy Spirit." Build yourself up. You ever need your strength? You ever felt weary? You know, it talks about being strong. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When you pray in tongue, and I know about one, you know, translation says edify. And I know about edify because I'm from Minnesota. Remember those commercials from, what's that place up in the top of Minnesota? International Falls. Thank you. I know that. Where they show it's 50 below. And they got the car out there, and they bring, you know, and that, well, of course, it's the diehard battery. It doesn't need to be jumped. But let's say the battery needed to be jumped. When you jump that battery, what are you doing? You're edifying it. You're building it up. And I know how cold it is up there because I was just up there in 25 below weather. It was so cold. Seriously, it was cold, man. That's ridiculously cold. Don't go there. No. Unless the Lord leads you to go there. But to build it up, to charge yourself up, praying in the Holy Spirit, staying right at the center of God's love. It keeps you in God's love. Keeping your arms open and outstretched, ready for the mercy of our Master, Jesus Christ. This unending life, the real life. Go easy on those who hesitate in the faith. Go after those who take the wrong way. Be tender with sinners, but not soft on sin. The sin itself stinks to high heaven. And now to Him who can keep you on your feet, standing tall in His bright presence, fresh and celebrating. I love that. To our God, our only Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Master, be glory, majesty, and strength, and rule before all time, and now and to the end of time. Yes. talks about building yourself up. You're building yourself up in God's love. And if you keep on reading, it's suggesting there it'll help you to deal with temptation. It'll strengthen you when temptation comes. But then it goes on to say it'll help you to rescue those that are in the pit, in the fire. I mean, it's going to take, delicate situations with dealing with people. It's going to take the Holy Ghost. It's going to take the wisdom of God. So I think God's got some things for us. He's got some things for you. You have every reason, and I can tell you all the reasons, we have every reason not to speak in tongues. All the world, certainly the enemy doesn't want you to do it. All the, he knows you're dangerous. But we have every reason, not just for us, but for others, to do it. So I want to encourage you, if you've gotten a little lazy, or if you've gotten sloppy, maybe you're not even baptized in the Holy Spirit, I want to encourage you to receive. I don't know if we'll do that tonight, but anytime we have prayer partners up here, you can talk to me after service. Pray with you to receive tonight if you're ready. And we've got materials on it. Take you through the Word, show you it's for today. But I just want to encourage you. Speak. Pray in the Spirit. Susie, when she goes to the grocery store, she goes to Kroger, North Augusta. Little does anybody else know, when she's walking those aisles, she's praying in tongues. She's weird. Now, she didn't do it loud so everybody hears her, but, she's just doing it quietly. That's one of the times she takes to pray. But you know what's really cool during these prayer times on Thursday? So Susie and I, we come. If we're in town, we come. But you know who else comes? My boys come. Grayson and Harry. Harry's 18. Grayson's 16. And I want them to see me praying in tongues. I want them to see me as a person of prayer. I want them to follow my example. And, because we can talk about it, but it's another thing to live it and do it in front of your kids. Because it's so sad because our kids are like us. That's tough. I mean, how many times do you get in a fight with your kid because they're doing something that you do? And you hate that thing in you, and so you double hate it in them. Because you don't want them to make the mistakes that you made. But I want to set the example. And I'll tell you, I want to set the example for this church. I can't say tonight, I might be close, the top 10 maybe. I can't say that I speak in tongues more than you all. I'd rather have you say that. But I'm going to give you a run for your money. Because I need wisdom. I need revelation. We live in a crazy, mixed up, screwed up world. And I don't know about you, but I mean, it may be calm right in here, but it's chaos out there. And we are the peace. We're the calm. We're the joy. We're the light. And if you're not careful, you just get sucked into the world. Sucked into all their mess. And that's not us. I tweeted this. This is for you, Wesley. Tweeted this the other day. And, I said, the best thing you can do for a hurting... You know what a tweet is, don't you? Okay. Martha, you know what a tweet is?
I've heard of them.
You've heard of them, okay. It's crazy. Anyway, the best thing you can do for hurting unhealthy people is to be healthy yourself. That's one of the best things. That's a challenge. Don't let them pull you down to where they're at. You, in love, pull them up to where you're at. But I mean, I just thank God tonight for the Holy Spirit. I thank God for, you know, the tools and the weapons He's given us. He's given us the Word. He's given us the name of Jesus. The Bible says that the angels come to minister to those that are heirs of salvation. The angels execute the Word of God. He has given us authority. He's empowered us. He's filled us with the Holy Spirit. He enables us to pray. He enables us to witness. But what He needs, though, is a willing vessel. And it's really the hardest thing that we all deal with in being a believer is that willingness. We can know all the right things, but have that willing heart. And that's what He needs. He needs that willingness. And we're living in a very, very selfish world. But I want to be one of those willing ones. I want to, go the second mile. Live this word, even though some days it's like crazy. Amen. Let's stand, everybody.